What's up, everybody? I'm Rick Hunter, and this is Nerdy for 30, Music Reviews. Today on Nerdy for 30, we have the album by Guns N' Roses, Appetite for Destruction. So, this is the first episode of Nerdy for 30 Music Reviews, which is a new podcast by Nerdy for 30. I'm going to keep it pretty informal with these reviews, and it's basically just going to be an overview of all the different tracks and not so much of a history retelling of the entire creation of the album and everything else that you would expect from a music major or something like that. So, it's just my basic thoughts of the album and its tracks after giving it a full listen. And I hope to go through all different genres of music, but I'll probably start off with some of the classic albums that I grew up with that have a lot of recognition and a lot of nostalgia for me. And Appetite for Destruction definitely is one of those types of albums. It was released on July 21st of 1987. And I remember I first heard of Guns N' Roses through MTV, music television, when I was young, just watching videos and stuff. And obviously the video for Sweet Child of Mine was very popular, but the song that really kind of stuck with me was Welcome to the Jungle, which was a video that I had seen by staying up a little late and watching MTV at night. And if you watched MTV at night, they would play Guns N' Roses' Welcome to the Jungle. And I think it might have even been released before Sweet Child of Mine. So that is actually the opening track to this album. And it's a classic, iconic track. It comes in with that awesome guitar riff, and then it just basically explodes from there with a track that is basically kind of a jam track, and is about all the trials and tribulations of living in the big city. So I really enjoyed that as a youngster. Let's see, how old would I have been? This was back in 1987, so I was probably 7 or 8 years old. So I really took a liking to Guns N' Roses at that time, you know, Slash with his top hat and Axl Rose with his weird, like, snake-like dancing and stuff from the videos. So that was the first track. Upon getting the album, I started to learn about the other tracks on the album, such as It's So Easy, the second track. This had one of the first cuss words that I'd ever heard recorded on an album. Most of the albums that I had at that time were hand-me-downs of safer music that my father listened to, and it would be stuff like New Order and The Cure and things like that that didn't really have cuss words in it. So it was pretty extreme at that time to hear those F-bombs and stuff dropped in It's So Easy. And it was probably one of my favorite songs to listen to on this album. The next track, number three, Night Train, that was also a really good song. It was about probably drugs, but I mean, a lot of their songs could probably be about drugs, so I didn't really get the context and stuff when I was young, and I still kind of don't get it now. I just basically listened to these songs and enjoyed them. Out to Get Me was really good. It was really solid. Mr. Brownstone, the song about heroin. This song was really cool because it's another song where Axl uses his kind of deeper voice, and I always just thought that sounded really cool, and it was like a good contrast to Axl Rose's high-pitched screech that he had in a lot of his other songs. So the next song, track number six, Paradise City, this song also had a video that went along with it, and I remember watching the video and seeing Axl Rose in his like white outfit with the Guns N' Roses patch on the back, and I used to think that was like the coolest outfit ever, especially the jacket, which was like a white denim jacket that had the Guns N' Roses patch on it. And Paradise City, when we first heard it, it was an epic song. It just like, it was so, at the time, you know, for MTV, it was so long, and it was just like an epic kind of rock song that just everyone just got the impression, like, felt from that. And if you had the cassette or if you had, like, the album, both sides were kind of labeled something different. So the first side, instead of being like side A and side B, they were labeled side G and side R. So side G had kind of like heavier, darker subjects. So you would have things like songs about drugs and the big city life and all that other kind of stuff. And the R side was more of love and relationships and stuff like that. So Paradise City was the last song on the G side. So when we flip to the R side, you start off with My Michelle. And I remember I didn't really listen to the R side as much. And this time, like, also listening through this entire album, there were a few songs on the R side that I still liked. My Michelle, I really didn't care for it that much. I mean, I guess it was just kind of goofy to me. It's just kind of a goofy song, goofy hook and stuff. Think About You really didn't leave any impression on me whatsoever. Like, at this moment, I really can't even remember the song because just I didn't listen to it much then, and I still didn't really remember it now, even though I just listened to it like an hour ago. Sweet Child of Mine, obviously, you know, the iconic video, and the song that really just made Guns N' Roses blow up with that awesome guitar work by Slash, and really good bass line in that song. It was just an iconic rock song from the 80s that I'll never forget. You know, it was definitely part of my childhood. You're Crazy was a song that I did listen to all the time on the R side, and it just really, I don't know, it just really struck a chord with me, and it had more F-bombs too, you know, the line, "You're fucking crazy," you know, just to hear that in a song, that was epic back then. So I definitely listened to those two songs on that R side of the cassette, because I always had pretty much cassettes. I only had vinyls as like hand-me-downs generally. But yeah, You're Crazy was definitely one of my favorites from there. Anything Goes, that wasn't a bad song. I mean, it rocks, but it's really not, you know, as good as anything that you'll catch on the G side. Like, even the last song, Rocket Queen, I feel like it kind of went for like another epic kind of song, like Paradise City, but to me it just really felt flat. It fell flat. Like, I had a hard time keeping interest and paying attention listening to the song, and so I ended up listening to it multiple times, and then I started to think to myself, oh crap, like, if I keep listening to this song multiple times on my Spotify, like, it's gonna affect my algorithm. So I ended up going into private mode with my Spotify so I could listen to Rocket Queen like a few times and not have it like come up on any of my daily mixes or anything like that, because I do not want to listen to this song any more than I have to. I mean, to me it was that bad. Like, I don't even know why, it just like rubs me the wrong way. Nothing good about it. Like, the sound of everything is just awkward and weird. So that's just my opinion on it. But yeah, that was the 12 songs of Appetite for Destruction. And that's pretty much how these music reviews are going to go. You know, it's just a quick rundown of the different tracks. I'm not trying to give you the whole history of a band, but at one time I was a pretty big fan of this record, and everyone at my school would listen to it, and we would talk about the band members and things that we had read in Spin magazine and Circus and stuff like that. So yeah, it was a good time for rock music back then. So hopefully you guys enjoyed this format, this new type of channel for Nerdy for 30, where we review music. So also check out N430 Comic Book Review, our flagship show where we review different comic books. Currently, I am reviewing the Weapon X limited series that was from Marvel Comics Presents, and I've been working on the final 12th chapter of that story, which has been very cumbersome, but it shall be coming out soon. So check out N430. I'm messing up my own title. Check out N430 Comic Book Reviews to check that out. So for Nerdy for 30 Music Reviews, I am Rick Hunter, and thanks for listening.